Okay. We're up to Siman Tov Reish Samach Dalet. And we are up to Siv Beis. Noitlin Arova B'yom Zeh. On the Shana Rabbah we take an additional set of Arovas. Milvad Arova Shebelulav. Besides the Arova which, of the Lulav. Ve'em Nevoach Nalem. We don't make a broch on it. Yes, we take additional Arovas to Shanas. Yeah, we will do that. Mishneh Berurah says an interesting point over here. He says the following in Sifkot Yud Aleph. Noitin Arova B'yom Zeh. Zeicha LeMikdosh. Shenetin Az Arova Yosham Halocha LeMosh Misinai. In the base of Mikdosh, the taking of the Arova was Halocha LeMosh Misinai. And that was the base in base of Mikdosh. And we do it similar. Zeicha LeMikdosh. We do it similar to the base of Mikdosh. V'chenu Yizu Mitzvoso. And that's what was done in the base of Mikdosh. B'chol Yoyim Mishivas Hayomim. Every one of the 7 days, Hoyim Avin Arovas used to take Arovas, Vizoik Finoise Akoinim Altsot the Mizbeach, and the Akoinim would put it on the sides of the Mizbeach. It would be placed on the sides of the Mizbeach. Ve'achakach, and after that, Boinom, the Yidna are coming, Vinoikinoise Misham, they're taken from there, Menaninoise, and they shake them. Ve'lochiloi Tiknu Lenotlo called Shiva Kamoi Belulev. But they didn't, this was, although this was on all 7 days, the takon is not, we don't do it 7 days, we only do it on the Shana Rabbah, because the lulav is the ikim in atir lulav, the root of the mitzvah of lulav is the, in the Torah, the yom rishnu min atir raf begvulin, there is a the Torah aspect with regards to shaking the lulav. Avdino lezeich lemikdash. Arova, however, when it comes to Arova, less like in our Torah, there is no source in the Torah. It's not really, the root is not in the Torah. Therefore, daishinavid lezeich lemikdash yemecho, we only do it on the last days. Although, there is no real difference between, although really in the Beis HaMikdash it was done all the days, but nevertheless, we only do it on our Shana Rabbah, because lezeich lemikdash we only do it one day. So that's the point being over here. That's the point over here. The decision was that they took only the last Yom Shvi, the last day. Because in Beis HaMikdash as well, this was great the Kedusha. It was great the Kedusha on that day. It used to go around 7 times. Therefore, it's great the Kedusha. And that's why we do the Hoshanah is only taken on the 7th day. Now, we don't make a bracha on it. We don't make a bracha on the Hoshanas. Why? Mishneh Berurah explains why. In Sifkot Yud Beis, Shehu Rak Minhag Neviim Sheinigu Es Ha'om Lasus Ken V'Loi B'Teres Takona. It's merely a Minhag Neviim, and it wasn't made into a proper Takona. V'Lo Shach Levorich V'Loi Mavitzivonu. And since it's not done, Chachamim didn't make it into a proper mitzvah. They've only made it into a. It's only a Minhag Neviim. It's not a Takona. Therefore, they never. It's inappropriate. You can't make the bracha of Vetzivonu. There's no commandment aspect to it. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's not a proper commandment. It's a takona neviim. Yeah. Okay. Venagu, the top of page Kufla Medalet, Venagu Shamash Beis Aknes Mevi Arov Elim Koyer. The minig is that the Shamash in shul goes around and he sells the arovas. Like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Yud Gimel explains, the messengers of Beis Din used to sell those arovas, and that's why we do the same. That the Shamash Beis HaKnesses brings arovas. We don't really have that minig, do we? No, there's no Shamash Beis HaKnesses who brings around arovas. It doesn't really work that way. You write your name in the bimah. That's the Kol Yaakov version. Yeah. Pardon? You're right.
He's the
Gabba. You're saying that with regards to this, the Arovas, he's the Arovas Gabba. Yeah. All right, okay. Yeah, there is places that the Gabba still, actually, there's people selling them, but yep. The Gabba, the Shamash Beis HaKnesses who goes around, that's what the Ramah says. Now the Shulchan Aruch is now going to discuss the following. Yesh Misha Oima, Sha'af B'yom Zim Akifim B'lulu V'loi B'Arova. Some say that the meaning is that when you go around for the Hoshanas, you go around with a lulav and not with arova. So the meaning is not to go around with the Shulchan Aruch says that's not the meaning. The meaning is to go around with arova. That's not really what we do, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch said. The meaning is Shulchan Aruch's meaning was that when they used to go around with arovas and not with a dalit minim. The Mishneh Berurah in Sifkoten Tezvov says that if there is no lulav in the city, if you haven't got dalet minim, if the, let's say for argument's sake, the dalet minim went postal by the Shana Rabbah. Imagine that. They would have gone all postal. And you can't access, you can't get any other dalet minim, so what should you do then? So he said that on the seventh day of Shana Rabbah, if you haven't got dalet minim, what you should do is go around with a, can you imagine that? Go around with Oshanas. Imagine that. So he said, how would that look nowadays? 2014, 2015, how would that look? It's a bit suspicious, yeah. But the Mishnah Berurah said that that's the consensus of the Achronim, that that's what you should do if you haven't got kosher set by the last day. What about that? Well, is there any halachas with regards to the Oshanas? Do they need to be, do the same halachas apply in the Arovas of the Dalim? Pardon? Shvehida? Yeah? Which halachas apply? Does it need to be the longer the better? Oh, is it? What's the halachas? It needs to be kosher. Does the same leaves need to be just as kosher as? No? No, yes? Yeah, they need to be?
Should be big.
It's just a minute. Big. Just a minute. So actually, yeah, how many leaves need to be attached? It needs to be more or less like an arova of the lulav? A bit more, a bit less? Roif. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Dalet. Shir arova zu. The shir, the measurements of the arova zu. Afilo ola echot bevat echot. Even if there is one leaf, bevat echot, in one stem. One leaf is sufficient. How suspicious do you look with that? Pretty suspicious, yeah?
There has to be five of them, is that
Oh, we'll get to that. Okay, yeah. We'll get to that. Miu, mechayahu leois, ola echot bevat echot. It's not nice, says the Ramah. Yes, halachically, you could really have one leaf per stem, but it's going to look pretty... pretty mechaya, pretty inappropriate. Alkei noagu, therefore, says the Ramah, now the custom is lasis, so yishanes yofi mishum zekei livan veu. The meaning is that zekei livan veu applies to that as well. So although, let me be very clear about this, although it's only a minik, and it's not a mitzvah, it's not a drabonon mitzvah, but it's a minik avim, it's ancient, but it's not really a mitzvah, so we don't make a broch on it. Nevertheless, the concept of zekei livan veu applies. Is that a chiddush, Rabbi Yisai? Look at the Gemara says, "Mishum zekei livan veu." Make sure to get nice oshanes because of zekei livan veu. What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisai? Isn't it interesting? Yeah, I understand zekei livan veu on a Torah mitzvah. I understand zekei livan veu on a derabbanon. But if we are talking about something which is a minig neviim, an ancient minig, and nevertheless the concept of zekei livan veu applies. I think it's a point to be registered. What do you think about it?
Makes sense.
Well, it does or it doesn't?
It does.
Yeah, you okay with it? Good.
Still, it applies. They've applied it. It's not that la halacha, there's any chiyuv, but the Ramah's coming out and saying, but that's what you should do. That's what you have to do.
Okay. It's zekei livan veu is it is really an obligation. You don't have to be mahada. But it's...
By your igud.
With regards to the eagles, we'll get to that.
But when you've got your other minute, you say you should have to have Zekei Levan Veu. Yeah. Your Aramas, which is a minute of Almas going around on the seventh day, there's no chiyuv
in the first place. Is that what you're saying? Right. So he says, so the point is, the way I understand is that as much as there's a minig nevim part, you can be mahad of that minig nevim as well. Good. That's that. Yeah. Well. Yeah. So it's interesting. I think that what you're pointing out is very, very true, and it's a very good point. But what we're learning now over here is that there is although the level of obligation may not be as severe and as stringent as others, but however much it is, there is still a concept of zekei levan veu to that. Yeah. It's just correct. You are mirroring. Yes. True. Correct. Correct. You're understanding right. It's not a deraisa fulfillment of zekei levan veu according to many mefarshim. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, definitely. The Mishneh Berurah says, let's carry on the Shulchan Aruch. V'shir orka, with regard to the length, says the Shulchan Aruch, k'shir orich arova shebelulev. The length, yes, it doesn't have to be 15 feet, but it can have, the length of the arova should be the same length of the, the same length of the Hoshana should be like by the Arovas. The length should be at the same. V'shir orko, the length of the Hoshanas, k'shir orich Arovas should be the same than in the Arovas in the Lulav. Which is Right? So we're talking about it has to be that length. Says the Rama, v'chol ha'poisel ba'arov shebelulav, addressing the question that we asked earlier, and everything which passels b'arov of the lulav, poisel ba'arov zu will be passel for you as well. So everything which passels the arov in the lulav will passel the shanas as well, excluding, of course, what we just said, excluding that point. Correct. So you can have one leaf, but everything else has to be like the arov. Isn't that interesting? Well, Mishnah Berurah is going to explain that in a minute. Let's see Takin Mishnah Berurah now. It says Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkotn Tezayin. Hoshanas Yofim. Now, how many? The question was asked, how many? The answer is, V'tov lechatchila, ideally should have, Shia al kolponim shlosh shabadim. Should have three stems. V'shemari kos v'chamish shabadim. So you've got two opinions. The main opinion is you need to have three stems, and in the name of the Ari, they quote, you need to have five. What's the general minhag? Is that what people have? Five? Yeah? So really, I mean, we have to be aware, this is a nice fulfillment of the Ari, but they're doing very well, you're doing perfectly fine as well with having three. Right? Mishnah Berurah says three is fine. You want to fulfill the Ari? Fine. Add another two. Suppose they're not that expensive. After spending for the Esek, and after spending for the Lulav, and after spending, so I suppose you can add another two stems of Avaros. But really, the Halacha really is three. Pardon?
It's always five,
yeah. Yeah, but we're seeing the Mishnah Berurah says that you should have the Chatchila three, and in the name of Ari, you can add another two, you can have five altogether. But three is perfect, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds in Tzivkot Nyudzayin, because Shir Oirech, Da'an Yishloish HaTfachim, there should be three Tfachim, so there should be three tfachim, and we have not found any other color. There have to be three tfachim. We haven't found any other color with regards to the shanas besides the fact that one leaf is sufficient. But otherwise, with regards to the length, and with regards to the it needs to be like an arova of the lulav. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah continues. It says, "Yesh oim da rova shalu shana rabba. The rova shana yesh li to la batim biltik shurim. There should be not the some say that the rova shana should be not bound at all. Avol Rav Moshe Zakusa cholak etz because it's tzorich lekoshem v'chem minageinu. Rav Moshe Zakusa says there should be bound. Is that what we have generally? Right? We have them always. Yeah. But he says that really, he says that you don't really need to. But if somebody." He doesn't need to, but the meaning is, according to Rav Moshe Zakusa, to have them bound together. Now, the question which I want to address briefly is the question of, can you use, or maybe I should wait for, let me just check. The question I want to address here briefly is, can you use somebody else's arava a second time? Can you recycle them? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why? Because it's been. You're being on a. You think that it's not so nice anymore? Right. That's a very nice point. You're saying that because once they've been hitting them, once they've used them, they're not going to be Zeke Levan Veir anymore. Right?
It still was. It's been used for a mitzvah. Or whatever, for this minhag, you can use it again.
You're saying that. Right, you're saying that we find this concept.
Take away that from that because it was there originally. It's now been used for its purpose and you're continuing to use it.
Right, we're saying that you're saying on the contrary, we find always the concept that if something is used for a mitzvah, let it be used for a mitzvah again. So that will be Mishnah Berurah shortly. We'll speak about the Arovos of the Lulav. That Mishnah Berurah is going to address that shortly. So bear with me for a minute. But how about using a separate set to use it a second time? Your svar is a very nice svar, and your svar is something very interesting. Lemaisa, the poskim say that one could. The poskim say that on the side of here, he's quoted that, he quotes, let me read this inside on Ohr 13. He brings from the Zkan Aaron, Velotes yidei choyva barova shekvar chovat ba'acha, to fulfill the mitzvah with an arova which a person has used already. Kosa b'tshuva Zkan Aaron, Rav Volkin, she'en lachboi barova shekvar ba'acha. You shouldn't do that. He doesn't explain over here why, but he says you shouldn't use it a second time. You shouldn't use it a second time. He doesn't explain why. Me'edach, however, b'tshuva shevet ha'levi, Rav Ozan Chelik Beis says, Kosav she'poshet she'yocha lotzeis bo. So Rav Ozan says you can certainly recycle, you can certainly use it the second time round. ולוי אסו להנס ממנו לאחקים המצל בענזו של חוות הנוספס. There is no issa hano. We never find that there's an issa, a restriction of not benefiting in a second time. So Avuzna is matir, and he said that it's fine. He says a slight different aspect, a bit different than what you were saying. I've only if that's what he means. He says Elo shenoyagin hidu shekol echod miyached leatzmi arove. He said there's an element of a hidu that everybody's got his own. I wonder if that's what he means, what you're pointing out, or maybe beyond that. That there's a hidu that everybody's got his own set, his own arove. There's a hidu that everybody uses his own. It may or may not mean what you are referring to, but it's the hidu that everybody should have his own. So one should...
It may just be similar to the concept of
our rabbinim,
which is also...
Yeah, over there it has to do with the fact of the kinyonim a little bit. This may not apply over here, but the idea, yes, the idea that everybody should have his own. And then he finishes off with the Bshlem Zalman, Rashaz Oyebach, Bshlem Zalman says, he says, as long as the leaves are still pretty much there, you can use it a second time round. So halacha lemaisa, some say that it may not be lechatchila, but yes, if you haven't got anything else, you can use it a second time round. Yes, you can. Right.
One leaf story is very strange. One leaf for
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you bothered about it?
Everything else has to be the same. It's whatever's the right sort of the right.
Right. Right. In fact, Mishneh Berurah in Yud Ches tells us, "Kol ha'posel ba'arova shebelulav." Everything that parcels it, he says, "Va'kini shlizoy shalei gozav le'yovesh." It shouldn't be dried out. It should be a dry. So you could have it in theory. That's basically what you're pointing out. In theory, you could have one leaf. If as long as it's not dry, it's fine. But that, you should make sure that that leaf that is still attached should be all right. Yes, it is interesting that we don't find any other colors besides the color of the amount of leaves. But once you've got your leaves there, So that's what he says. That's what the Mishneh Berurah paskens. Now, what do we do about it? So when it comes to the chavota, where do we do it? Ground. Table, edge of the table, in edgewood that's certainly appropriate. Yeah, it says the Shulchan Aruch, v'choyved bo ala karka. He says the Shulchan Aruch says you should hit it on the ground, on the floor, or alternatively ala kli, on a kli, which presumably means like you're saying a table maybe. Pa'amayim o shalosh, two or three times. It's not very Yekish, is it? Two or three. For some of us, it's a bit hard to absorb that. Two or three, it's a bit like vague, no? Yes. So we hit them two or three times. Two or three times. Yeah, you okay with that instructions? You okay with that? Pardon? You thought about five times. Okay, you're not wrong. Says the some say you should shake it first. Shaking it, you shake it, you give it a little shake. So the Ramah says you should give it a shake beforehand. And the custom is, says the Ramah, Shemanan in ba, we do shake it. And after that, so we do shake it and afterwards we hit it. Oh, how do we shake? Very good. It doesn't actually address how to. You know, actually, most people, does anybody shake?
I've seen someone do it.
Yeah, some people do. Yeah, I think some people do. Yeah, I've seen them as well. Some people shake, yeah. The shake, so the Shlomo Zalman says, does anybody shake? If you shake, do you have to do it all directions? So there is people who do it, but the Shlomo Zalman says, have you seen people shake all directions? So Bshlam Zalman says, you certainly don't need to, there's no point in doing so, according to Bshlam. There may be other custom, I'm just quoting Bshlam Zalman, give it a shake, maybe two shakes or so, but you certainly don't have to go into all directions. But yes, the Ramah says, you should give it a shake. Five times, how does that make sense? Shulchan Aruch says two, three. So the Ramah, the Mishneh Berurah said, and they've gotten you tests, the following. Halakako elakli, uveshem ari, you are achsidji, you have got achsidji blood in you, it seems. The Ari says, the Heilige Ari says, cause for the dafka la karka yachboit, you should specifically do it on the ground, you should do it on the floor. Yachboit hei chavotois. You should do it five times. That's where five comes from, it's from the Ari. V'toiv lachboit chile la karka, hei chavotois. Mishneh Berurah says you should do it five times on the ground, and after that, then you do it on the kli, to remove the leaves. And you don't need to ensure that all the leaves are. You don't need to ensure that there's no leaves left. Have you ever tried that? You'll be there for hours. Have you tried that to get rid of all the leaves? Yeah, good, very good, very good, 100%. Yeah. Very good question. Yeah, you're quite right. Mishnah Berurah didn't explain it. Where does that come from? The chavotas arava. Where does that come from? This minhag. Yes, the fact that we do have aravas, the fact that we do have a shana, that's something with the actual idea of having them. That is something which is based on the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash where they put on the Mizbeach, they put them. But the fact that we hit it, where does that come from? Chavotas arava, the hitting of that, where does that come from? So again, we have to differentiate. The fact of having them on the seventh day, that's a minhag, that's an ancient minhag, the fact of actually having them. But what you actually do with it, and the fact that you hit them on the ground, where does that come from? So it's a very good question, because it's not so straightforward to find exactly where it's coming from. A few reasons are brought down, and some of them are Rishonim, some of them are Achronim, that one explanation which is brought down in the Bikur Yaakov, there's numerous explanations. One explanation which is for me quite understandable is that we spoke about the Hoshana Rabbah being what? The end of judgment. So it's a symbolic sign that the Aravos, which represent to some extent din, don't ask me details on this, but in the Sforim it says that the Oshanas, the Aravos, they represent din. So by smacking them and removing all the leaves, you are therefore representing it symbolically, you are showing that the din is now completed. That is the Gmar din. Because we know that, as we mentioned yesterday, the absolute final part of the din is no Shana Rabbah. That's where the Yom Kippur was the end, but there's a very end after the end, which is no Shana Rabbah. You're showing that by showing the Aravos represent din and judgment. That is, you're completing, you're finishing off, there's no leaves left. You're getting rid of the leaves, you're finishing off completely, now it's the end of everything. That's one explanation amongst many others. Does anybody know of any other explanations?
Because there's no smell and no taste, that's like...
Din, right.
No, we're getting rid of the...
Getting, oh, I see. Right. Uh-huh. Well, you're getting rid of all the avarice, like finishing off the... Yeah.
Sweetening the din or lessening the din by...
I don't know, it could be there's an... I'm not aware, but it could very well be. I'm not aware of anything. I'm not aware. Yeah. Other explanations are as well. Another interesting explanation, which is brought down in the name of Shlomo Kluger, is the fact that the Dalit Minim represent the four groups of Yidden. You've got the ones which have taste and have smell and the opposite. You know, the four types of people that are represented with the Dalet Minim. Now, as long as they are together, that's maybe a bit of a scary explanation, but Reb Shlomo Kluger says, as long as they are together, they're sticking together, you're ma'agid them, they stick together, and everything is fine. What happens, what does that rover represent? No smell. Actually, that's actually what you were saying. Yeah, it's got no smell, no taste. So who is that? No Torah, no mitzvahs. Fine. What is he? What is he worth? What is he worth if he's on his own? Nothing. So on the seventh day, which represents, based on the Sforim, the seventh day represents the Osid Lovo, the future. Now, when Mashiach comes, the final judgment, and then if you have the Aravos, which are the people who have no smell and no taste, and there are no mitzvahs and no ma'asim tovim, once they are distanced, and they are distanced from the set of the Dalet Minim, if you're taking them on their own, they're just worth of... They're not worth of anything beyond that. So that's another explanation why on Shana Rabbah, which represents the Gmar Din, the final Din, that why on that day... You make sure that there's nothing. You make sure there's nothing left. Do we really have to ensure that there's no leaves left? Is that really what we need to ensure? Is that? I mean, it says on the one hand, it says five times. On the other hand, it says that you know what's the halacha? Do you need to make sure? What's the halacha?
I have all the leaves off.
You don't have to have all the leaves off. Yeah. Siborik. So the emissary is that Mishnah Berurah says five times, and the Chayodim says the fact that people are trying to get rid of all the leaves is that it's a minik tinoikos. Chayodim quotes, it's a minik tinoikos, the custom of children. There's no source for it. There's no source to ensure that all the leaves are off. It's a minik tinoikos, but it does add that the reason for that, for simcha, gets people really, really excited and happy to try to get all the leaves. So it's a minik tinoikos, which causes great simcha to, as opposed to young children, and causes them great simcha. So, halachically, you certainly don't have to ensure all the leaves are off. All you do is you did five times, and that's it. May I just add that the idea of what we'll speak about, I'll address it a little bit at the latest Eve, tomorrow, Mitzvah, maybe. What happens after that? What do we do with them after that? Yeah. So, why do we do that? I mean, pardon? What after hitting the Oshanas? Bir Chametz. Oh, did you hear that? Bir Chametz. How nice. What are we doing in other places? Where did it end up? Yeah, on the Oren. No, is that what? So that's actually quite interesting. I mean, others question that. Never mind the bizarre aspect. Never mind that. But just, I mean, do you do that with your leftover matzahs too? Hey, put them on the Oren. Is that what you do with your leftover matzahs? Yeah, so where does that come from? To put that over on top of that, where does that come from? Where does that come from? So, you know, it's a good question if you think about it. We're just used to it. We do it every, but I'm saying, where does that come from? Isn't that a bit strange? Yeah, have you thought of it?
Completes the cycle of Torah, going back to the Torah.
What a nice thought, nice thought. The Moshe Sternbuch, and it's interesting, Moshe Sternbuch, the first one to actually explain it that way, and Moshe Sternbuch is a current posek. He says a very interesting thought. Is, you know where that comes from? Is that in the Mizbeach, in the Beis Hamikdash, we learned in the earlier Mishneh Berurah, they used to put the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah as well. They used to put the Aravos, they used to put them on the Mizbeach. They used to place them on the Mizbeach, on top of the Mizbeach. That's where the Aravos were placed. So he said, it's a bit similar to that. So the Moshe, that's where the minute comes from. The custom, every custom has got holy sources. They don't just emerge from nowhere. So the custom, the fact that we put them on top of the Oren, I was just about to show an Oren unsuccessfully. The fact that we put the Aravos on top of an Oren, that comes from the comparison, because that comes from that the Eden used to put it on top of the Mizbeach. So the comparison Mizbeach developing into an Oren HaKodesh, the same point being that you put it on top. And that's where the minute comes from. A very nice thought by Gaon Rav Moshe Sternbuch.